Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, along with our co-host, Minister Robert Walker, and Minister David Clifton. We say, we're blessed to be able to be here. Like Peter said, it is good for us to be here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. We thank God that we're able to be here again today with Truth Ministry. We'd like to remind you that our call-in number is 646-716-6566. Again, 646-716-6566. And also, you can you want to email us, you can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. So we're blessed to be able to impart truth. Like the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as we let you know that the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. So, and then we also, the psalmist said, David, we know that was him in the book of the Psalms, the 51st Psalms, when he made one quote that he said, and that is what God desires of us, and that is, he said, "Thou desirest truth on the inward parts." So we got to tell the truth. Ain't no sense in lying. John said, "No lie is of the truth." So we know the truth is in Jesus. So for our food for thought, before we get going, and also we'd like to give a shout out to all our Facebook listeners. We made sure that we try to link you in today. All our Facebook listeners, we give a shout out to you on today. Our food for thought will be found in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, beginning at 18th verse. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And this particular quote was bought out of the book of Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. And it's so important to know what the Bible says, because many times the writers, they would quote, make a quote from that something that is already written in the Old Testament. They would just be, like the Bible says, precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. So we see here that this is what he says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So there's nothing, and we know that there's only one Lord, because we made sure that you all have been following us, that we were talking about the Godhead. We let you know that there is but one Lord. So the same Lord in the Old Testament is the same Lord in the New Testament. Like he says, I'm the Lord, besides me there is no Savior. I am the Lord. So we got to know that there is only one. So it's not three, it's not two, but it's one, and it's all wrapped up in the power, in the body of Christ. So we know that Christ is the power of God.
Amen, amen. And if I could give my food for thought on this evening, it would be an answer or, if you will, a dispute against those that call us mostly preachers. They say that we judge people all the time. When you give scriptures to tell of a certain person's a lifestyle, the first thing that the world will do is say that we cannot judge others. If I could read in your hearing just a little bit out of the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just going to give you a class of people, 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And then the book of Revelation also gives a group of people. In the book of Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8, goes on to say that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And my point is, when preachers, when the men and women of God, whether they're in the pulpit or whether they're out on the street, we have some that use the airwaves of MySpace and Facebook now. When they are talking about sin and people that are living in sin, they are not judging. Judging, according to definition, is an opinion. Someone looks at an event or something and they give their an opinion on that. And if I could use the sports arena for an example, the Winter Olympics just passed, and there were some of those events that had judges. Then the individual events, maybe it was the ice skating, if you will. Then you had events such as hockey that does not have judges. The judges were used because they're giving an opinion on that performance. It's not a fact. It is just how they perceive that. On the other hand, hockey, you don't need a judge because at the end of the day, the scoreboard is going to tell you who scored more goals. So when we are telling people that they are in a particular sin, we are not judging, number one, because it is not based on our opinion. It is based on the fact of the word of the Lord.
Yes, sir. Good.
And we are not judging that person. We are merely telling you what type of sin that person is in. And if it is a true man or woman called by God, once they do identify that sin, They have a responsibility to show that person a way out.
Yeah.
So we here, we are against preachers that bash on people and they preach sin, 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 and they don't give you a way out. We don't tell that homosexuals can't come into our church. We don't say that drug dealers or drug users or alcoholics or whoremongers or any of those things cannot come into this church. Because if that was the case, this church building would not be open because we were all
right.
in that form of life at one point in time.
Right.
Our responsibility is to preach the gospel, the good news, to call you out of sin. So I just want to reiterate that we are not judging. What we are doing is merely taking the fact of the matter according to the word of the Lord, telling people what type of life they are in, and then we want to correct that. So don't see us as being too dogmatic or too harsh or too holy. We are simply trying to live our lives as close as we can to the scriptures, and we want all of our listeners, day in and day out, to have that same experience, if
yes.
you will.
Yes. Good, good. God bless you all. My food for thought would be this. When you decide to leave that lifestyle and come into the church, we have to recognize that on the day of Pentecost, the only church at that time was the Apostolic Church. There was no Baptist Church on the day of Pentecost. There was no Church of God in Christ on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
There was no Lutheran church on the day of Pentecost. The church on the day of Pentecost was an apostolic church.
Yes.
And when you're ready to leave that lifestyle, it's time for you to find an apostolic church that's preaching the truth.
Yes.
Because, let me say it like this, there is no way for a man to be in the church, the apostolic church,
mm-hmm.
apart from being in Jesus Christ. For the church is his body. And if you look at Ephesians 1, verse number 22 and 23, it says, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things
mm-hmm.
to the church,
Jesus.
Which is his body.
Yes.
The fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then on Romans 12 and 5, it says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another.
Yes, sir.
And then if we were to go to 1 Corinthians, if I, let me call this one, 1 Corinthians, it says, verse number 12 and 13, it says, for as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Yeah.
The way to enter the church is through Jesus Christ, and we have to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
For the Bible says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So, brothers and sisters, on the day of Pentecost, it was the apostolic church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to understand that it's the apostolic church that is going to carry the truth and has carried the truth.
Amen.
And that's what we need to be looking for.
Amen. Yes, yes. And the reason why we say that, like we read here in the first chapter of Acts on last week, is talking about Jesus here. The writer Luke was writing to Theophilus in the verse 2 in the first chapter of Acts, until the day in which he was taken up, talking about Jesus. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen.
Right.
And so Ephesians 2 and 20 says that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Right, right.
So we're talking about what his word says.
Amen.
Then also, on the food for thought, I'm going to add a little part here on the judging thing, because people say, and judges in a court of law, They only judge by the facts of the case. And they tell you that if anybody had jury duty. And so Jesus said here in St. John 12 and 48, he said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So like my father in the gospel used to say, says, "Where's the judge?" He says, "You're holding the judge in your lap." So the judge is the word of God.
Amen.
So it's not nothing we're making up. That's what people need to know. Yeah, we're judging. If you told a lie, you might as well come clean. That's the whole point with the whole world, the problem now. Folks are doing all kinds of subtle things and saying things about people in subtle ways instead of coming on out. Like, they, you know, now that y'all know that term, they say come out of the closet. So they're out of the closet, whoever they are. So be who you are. And that's what the Bible says in the book of Revelation. Let him that is filthy be filthy still. Him that is holy be holy still. So in other words, don't nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. So you need to come clean. So now is the time to come clean.
Amen.
So we have a chance to do that. So that's what the preaching of the gospel is all about. The death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Right.
The ascension. The Holy Ghost coming back. The appearing to take the church away. The second coming when the Lord's going to come back and fight and during the tribulation period. And also, he's going to sit on the throne of his father David in Jerusalem and reign for 1,000 years. And the devil will be in the bottomless pit falling for 1,000 years. So like that song says, beautiful story of Jesus. I'll tell it everywhere I go. Then the songwriter says, oh, but it's not just a story. So what it is it is an event that actually happened. So people, and it amazes me, people want to magnify history above the word of God. This is a history book too.
Amen.
The word of God, like I said, that show that I was on Saturday. Any book, the Bible is a book. So any book could be classified a Bible, because that's what it means. Bible means book. So why you want to magnify, and also in the book of Revelation says, and somebody says the books were opened, and the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So the books can also mean a man's mind, because people write a book, and they put things in the book that is in their mind or on their mind. So why should we magnify somebody else's book or somebody else's word above the word of God? That's an insult. God is a wise enough God, just like I just read about him, that he left on record what he wanted us to have. It's real. And if you take this prescription like we're telling you to, you will get results. So you can go ahead and call me whatever you want to call me, but you can't blow my mind because it's too late now. Already, like somebody said, I already been to the water, and I already been baptized, and I already got saved. I ain't just been converted, but I'm saved according to the word of God. And that is, you got to be born again.
Right.
And your spirit is what he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit.
Right.
When you're born again, the song said, you know, somebody said they looked at their hands, they looked new, and their feet did too. That sounds good. That ain't what he came to say. But James says, to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. That's what he came to save. So God is the spirit, man is the spirit, and he came to save our soul.
Good.
So we thank God for that. So as you can see, we're continuing in the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the Apostles. So last week we kind of gave you some history of what we were talking about. We know the author, the writer of the book of Luke, and also the Acts of the Apostles is St. Luke, or Dr. Luke, as we would call him. And so he wrote as he was inspired by God to write. And so last week we gave you history. So we know the scene that Jesus, after his resurrection, how he was seen of them. He was on the earth for 40 days speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he commanded them to go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. So they did do just what he said, and he talked to them. They thought he was a gardener. So he appeared in many proofs. The writer John Mark said he appeared in another form, and another form. They thought he was a gardener. I mean, our God can do whatever he wants to do and never cease to be who he is. Don't tell me he couldn't be a man. He can be God. He can be a man and never cease to be God. He's a everywhere, here, now, there God. He can leave you, come to you, ain't gone nowhere. Psalmist says that he was seen walking upon the wings of the wind. Oh, yes, we know that he was a cloud by day to the children of Israel and a pillar of fire by night. He was an angel of the Lord. He can be whatever he wants to be. He's God. He's great. He's greatly to be praised. He's got that, like, he's not out there in space, but space is in God. So that's the kind of God we're serving. He's everywhere and every place. He's all-knowing. Like Peter said, I believe in the 21st chapter of St. John, says, you love me, feed my sheep. You love me, Peter, you love me, feed my lambs. Peter's reply was, Lord, thou knowest all things. And only the Lord knows all things. So we go here. We know that the disciples were gathered together in an upper room, just like he told them to. In verse 14 on the first chapter of Acts, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So we know the spokesman, Peter, who was given the keys, he was the spokesperson. And so we can see here as we went on, they cast lots and they chose Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. But we'll see later on as we go on here, you don't ever read any more about Matthias, but the Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So, and we just rehearse a little bit, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, Pentecost means 50th. It's the 50th day after the Passover, after the resurrection. And people are taking things and just using it for their profit. So that don't mean, okay, so this is the 50th day, the Pentecost being 50th, so you bring a $50 love offering. I mean, people are merchandising people. That ain't what that's talking about. It's the day of Pentecost. It's the 50th day after the resurrection. So they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And let's let you know right there, when I received the Holy Ghost in August the 11th, 1976, I was sitting on the front pew. I was not kneeling. So people act like you just got to get on your knees. No, God's not concerned about the position of your body as much as he's concerned about the condition of your heart. So we got to open our heart up to God. We need to believe the gospel. This is not no head knowledge. Go search it out. You can't figure out God.
Yes.
People trying to figure out, that's the whole thing, the problem with the world by wisdom, they knew not God, he said.
Yes.
That it pleased God to save them by the foolishness of preaching. So that's what they call it, you know, about the Jews seeking after a sign and the Greeks after wisdom, but Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God.
Yes.
Christ, the power of God, because he is God. So there appeared unto them cloven or divided tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we did let you all know last week about it. They spake with other tongues or other languages. But the key is as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Right.
A lot of people, they say, the Spirit of God gave them utterance. The Bible says the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit is God, incidentally.
Yes.
And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Question. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?
Yes.
Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Jusia and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.
Yes.
They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, or Joel,
yes.
Joel, whatever pronunciation. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy or preach. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams.
Yes.
So we know the fulfillment. This is the fulfillment of Joel 2:28. So God doesn't care. And that's us. We're so caught up about he's brown skinned. He's red. He's Jew. He's Gentile. God is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. And we're going to go back to the dust, our bodies. And our soul, it don't have a color. If it do, if we don't see it now, it doesn't matter. So that's what's important. Your spirit is what God deals with. And our body is going to go back to the dust, but our heart, we want our heart or our spirit is what God came to save. He came to save. You're born again. Your spirit is born again. Your soul is that emotionally part of you. So it doesn't matter. You know, just like the writer says, this house of our earthly tabernacle be dissolved. We have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we ain't nobody going to get out of here alive. We all going to, and then, you know, that one so-called faith, they think they're going to live forever in this body. And I remember losing one of my in-laws. And so the preacher got up there and said, this is of the devil. You know, because Jesus said, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. But what Jesus was talking about is the second death.
Right.
Jesus wasn't talking about the physical death.
Right.
So don't fool yourself. Then, so what do y'all do? You getting old. We all are getting old. We stay here. Like they say, can't you see the flowers withering? So we're gonna leave here. So we need to believe the gospel. So here we see that he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And we're going to quit right there. And
amen.
Instead of dealing with this other part, that goes on even farther.
And if I could, I just want to reiterate for those that are just joining us. Again, we are starting our journey through the book of Acts, and I just want to again say how important this book is to anyone that calls herself a believer or a Christian. It is through this book that we find out, as we heard Minister Walker saying earlier, speaking of the body of Christ,
yes,
or the church, or saints, or Christians, whatever name you want to attach to it,
yes,
there is a way to become part of that group, if you will.
Yes.
And it is through this book that we find those things out. Last week we spoke on people that will read the Gospels and skip over the book of Acts and jump right into the epistles.
Right.
And we have said, and we will bring this up many more times, that the epistles were letters, if you will, written to certain individuals or to certain churches.
Yes.
And if those epistles were addressed to churches, then a person, and even me at one point in time as a sinner, I cannot go into those letters and pull out information that does not pertain to me. So what we're leading up to here in the second chapter is Elder Cantor just got done reading where it says there was around 120. It doesn't say it was 120 exactly. We all said that there was 120, but again, we have to read the word for what it says.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were here. They received the promise of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And as we go down in verse 22, we have Peter here getting ready to preach his first sermon. This is a fulfillment, if you will, of the Great Commission. The preaching of the gospel was to begin at Jerusalem. then go to Judea, then Samaria, and then to the othermost parts of the earth. So here in verse 22, we have Peter doing exactly what God said. This first sermon is in Jerusalem, and it is through this sermon here that we are going to see Jews. And as we read down here, we're going to see some of these people were present when they crucified the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to find out what happened to them as we read down. But this is where we find the Jews being saved according to the scriptures. And then as we go on through the weeks, we will find out that the Samaritans had to do the same thing. And then we're going to go on further, and we'll find out where the Gentiles, which are all those that are not Jews, did the same thing. So everyone that is going to be a part of the body of Christ, we all have to follow the same format. We all have to follow the same rules, if you will. They all apply to everyone.
Yes.
There's only one way to be saved.
Yes.
We find that through the teaching of Jesus Christ, where he said, I am the way. He said that he was the door, not doors or ways, so that there is only one way to salvation. There is only one door that you have to enter into. And if you go in another way, you're called a thief.
Yes. Yes.
Or a robber.
Yes. Yes.
So we have to do things according to the scripture. So if I could read briefly, and then we will recap. Says here in chapter number 2, verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spake, speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." And if I could just stop here briefly, whenever you are going to see the apostles, any of the apostles preaching sermons, they always make reference back to the Old Testament scriptures.
Yeah.
Let this be understood. Those were the only scriptures that they had access to at that time.
Right.
None of the epistles, including Romans, existed at this point in time. As we go on, we will find when one of my favorite examples is where Philip is preaching to that Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch is reading out of the book of Isaiah.
Yes.
And Philip goes on to him in the chariot, and he preaches to him, and he preaches the baptism.
Right.
He finds it in the Old Testament. So that's another thing to all those ministers and all those preachers out there. You have to be able to preach the new birth. You have to be able to preach salvation, if you will, also through the Old Testament scriptures.
Yeah, right.
Amen?
Yes. Yes. So let me add on to what my brother is saying by looking at 1 Timothy 4 and 1. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils."
Yes.
This is where all this false religion is coming from.
Amen.
This is where false doctrine is coming from.
Yes.
Someone has allowed themselves to be given over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Yes.
And so when an individual, a pastor, a brother, a sister, whoever, departs from what was taught on the day of Pentecost, when they deviate from the Acts of the Apostles, they have allowed themselves to be given over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Is that right, brother?
Yes.
And then it goes on, and I think I want to read 2 Timothy 3 and 13. It says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived."
Yes.
And so we have to be extremely careful, because the order of the day is deception.
Yes.
Deception in what? Deception in knowing the right division of the Word of God.
Yes.
You cannot be saved. You cannot be a part of the body of Christ unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, unless you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And when someone deviates from that, They are giving themselves over to seducing spirits and doctrines of men, and or doctrines of devils, because as we have said before, the natural man cannot rightly divide the word of God. In order to rightly divide the word of God, one has to be filled of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the problem that we have is too many individuals are trying to interpret, explain the word of God without the Holy Ghost, and it cannot be done.
Amen. And if I could, I just want to chime in, and then I will turn the microphone over to Elder Cannon. Brother Walker here said something very powerful, and he spoke about deception.
Yeah.
And Timothy said that they are deceived, and then they turn around
and
deceive.
Yes.
Of this day, he said deception is the destruction of man, if you will, of this day,
of the sixth day
of man.
Yes.
If we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we know that that is where deception started.
Yes. Yeah.
And now understand this. They're not deceiving, if you will, by a different book. We know we have other religions and other teachings out there, but we have men and women deceiving you by using the word of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're doing just like the enemy did.
Yeah.
God told Adam and Eve not to eat of that tree. He said, in the day that thou eat, thou shalt surely die.
Yeah.
And what did the devil do? He deceived Eve and told her, thou shalt not.
He just
added one word. So he took the word.
Yes.
He took the words of the Lord and twisted them.
Yes.
Tricked Eve, deceived Eve, and what did she do? Once she was deceived, she went back to her husband, and then she and this is the bad thing.
Yes.
Adam willfully sinned.
Yes. Yes.
Adam knew what God said.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Adam decided to listen to another voice.
Yes. Right.
The voice of God told him what to do. He had the word. He had the word in his ear. He didn't have a word as we have to pick it up and read, but he actually heard. The Bible says he spoke with God face to face. He listened to another voice, and his wife, being deceived, came to him, told him of her experience, and then Adam willfully ate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as we have people that they know the truth. We have the Bible speaks of those that crept in unawares or
yeah.
The great falling away. We have men and women that have the truth.
Yes, good.
And then for some reason they decide to listen to another voice.
Yes.
We also have those that may not have the truth, but they're listening to another voice.
Yes.
Now, my voice is distinct from Brother Walker's, and Brother Walker's is distinct from Elder Cannon's. But in the sense of the preaching of the gospel, we have the same voice because we are speaking the same words,
yes.
The same thing,
yes.
Those things that which were written and left for us, written by the apostles, written by the old men of faith in the Old Testament, and all this was inspired by God himself. Amen?
Yes, yes. So that's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is the truth when it's rightly divided. But the problem is too many people, that, like Jesus said, many are called and few are chosen. A lot of folks went. They weren't sent, but they went. You can't go. And that's the problem Jesus told, I believe, in the 15th chapter of St. Matthew. He says, let them alone. If they be blind leaders of the blind, both shall fall into the ditch, if the blind lead the blind. So I serve you notice, whoever you are, you don't owe no allegiance to your pastor if he's not preaching the truth, because you're gonna end up in the hell hole. You don't get saved. You don't God dealing with you to be born again, and that is too many people, they don't want to receive with meekness the word of God. Like the Bible said that we must be born again, and these people you can see on the day of Pentecost, when they were born again, they spake in another tongue or another language.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, you would say this to some of these leaders, I ain't spoken no tongues. I've heard people say, I ain't spoken no tongue. Well, then, you don't have it. You simply don't have it. You can't, just like when they preached Jesus, they preached him out of the law. They preached him out of the prophets. They preached him out of the Psalms. We can pick up tongues or other languages out of the book of Joel.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about today, Joel 2:28.
That's right.
This is a fulfillment of it. So If your preacher didn't speak in tongues as the Spirit gave him utterance, then he hasn't been born again. You ain't got to go ask him nothing. You both going to end up in the hell hole if you don't come clean, come on and get saved. You got to realize you don't have it. And that's too many people have went. God is not the author of confusion. That's man. That's the devil is the author of confusion. But yep. God is not the author of confusion. He didn't intend for nobody to be confused. And just like I said on last week, God never said a man couldn't have a wife. Moses was a man that knew God face to face. And God talked to Moses as a man doth his friend. And he had a wife. And the apostles had wives. The ones, Apostle Paul chose, now we don't know what he did before he got saved. He had a nephew. He had different relatives. But he counted it all dung that he might win Christ. So it's your choice if you want to have a wife. Or if you are a woman and you want to have a husband. Just like he said, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife? So you got power to do that. So that's up to you. If you want to be single, you got to be single. You can't be going around. These folks got hidden girlfriends and all that. God don't care nothing about your title. You got to do right over here. Like the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So when the Lord dealt with my heart, I didn't come up in this apostolic way. I didn't get saved until I was almost 24 years old. But I knew that I wasn't right. And then you got to be honest with yourself. You're sitting just like they say. Some people are lost in the house, but they're not really in the house. You know, they got their eyes looking like two tomatoes. They've been out drinking, and they know they ain't right. They're singing in the choir. They're at church to look at the sisters. No, you got to come over here. You got to see Jesus when you come over here. So you got to do it the right way, the way that God says it. God is not the author of confusion. All these different churches, it's not God. God has one church.
One church.
His church is the built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the church was born on the day of Pentecost. It's when the church triumphant was born. All this other stuff sprang off.
Right.
You know, the mother of harlots, you figure out what it is, Revelation the 17th chapter. You figure, ain't no divine trinity and all that. God is one, and his name is one. He always wanted people to know that. So that some of this stuff, you know it ain't God. So that's why they're having such problems. Like I said on last week, you get a wife, and you won't be burning in your lust. And you'll be doing the right thing if you don't have power over your own body. So you're born again. You could do what the Lord says do. So we skip these other scriptures here. This is dealing with the tribulation period. And even here, what he said here, well, I guess I can go ahead and read it. In the 19th verse in the second chapter of Acts, Peter flew over into the tribulation. I will show wonders, and this is the Holy Ghost speaking through him, in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. Sun shall be turned into blackness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, you know, all of those out there talk about just confessing. It wasn't nothing to confess. This is they preached Jesus out of the law, out of the Psalms, and out of the prophets. So there's not just confessing. That's to the Jews. Nobody else. We didn't know the whole world was guilty before God. So we have to believe this gospel. And this gospel was given just like Jesus said. I didn't come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we can see that he's a God of order, and this is initially he came for the Jews. These people were in Jerusalem for a reason.
Amen.
God had them all there on purpose. So we go on here, and that's why he addressed them in verse 22, as Minister Clifton had read, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." So we see that his message was to Israel. And these people, they knew who David, the psalmist was, or David, the prophet. Here, David speaking concerning him, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." So we know that he got up from the dead. He got up to die no more.
Amen.
And he already proved who he was when he raised Lazarus from the dead. who could get up from the dead and still be wrapped up and come forth? But he came forth because he knew the shepherd's voice. He came forth. He was all tied up. Jesus said to the one that was standing by, loose him and let him go. He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot. So we know that he is the resurrection and the life. Just like he said that no man take my life. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So he proves this very fact. So thou hast made me known, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So you're familiar with the Gospels. You know that Christ came from the seed of David. Amen. The book of Romans says, according to the flesh and the spirit of holiness, that body, he got up from the dead. And so he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So we know in the book of Isaiah, he's talking about the snow and the heaven coming down from the rain and the snow coming down from heaven. And it's accomplishing the thing that he's giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he goes on to say, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it's accomplishing the thing that I sent it and prosper in that which I please. So God's word is going to be fulfilled. So verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Remember in St. John when he was saying that he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And how he let the disciples know that it's expedient that if I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. They didn't know what he was talking about, but he let them know. In St. John 14 and 26, but he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall guide you into all truth. And so we know that is the Holy Ghost. And so this is the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost. So David is not ascended into the heavens, not David, but saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So here he is in his message, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified,
yes,
both Lord and Christ. We know Lord is the ruler, Christ is the anointed one. He's the same one. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Question. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Now notice this message here that he has. We have a caller here also. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I'd like to ask the question. Hello, Elder Michael Cannon, it's your brother.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question that is so prevalent in the church. You know, people like to throw around titles and everything there.
Yes.
How do you feel about and what does the Bible bears out about these apostles now? There's, you have a lot of people out there calling themselves apostles.
Well, in the book of Revelation,
a little bit today?
Those that call themselves apostles and are liars. When we look in the Word of God, we see Apostle Paul was talking about how he labored. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he labored more abundantly than all of them that were before him. But he says, yet not I, but the grace of God. And then he goes on, he lets us know that last of all, he was seen of me. So one of the signs of an Apostle Peter said that we saw him in the Holy Mount. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So one of the signs of being an apostle is that you had to see the Lord.
Okay. because I was, you know, nowadays you got a lot of people calling themselves apostles or doing apostolic work. And it seemed like a lot of people doesn't challenge them, or the lay members, they just don't follow up on scripture to find out what does the Bible say about that. And I was just wondering about that. And
No, you can't. You get, just like it was funny when Bush, they had that Chad, the hanging Chads and all that stuff in 2000 in Florida. And so one news writer, it was kind of funny, he said of George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, he said he crowned himself the winner. You don't crown yourself. You don't choose yourself to be a soldier. So being that you can't. The apostles' job was to lay the foundation and to write the New Testament scriptures. Amen. So the question is, are there apostles nowadays? The answer is no.
Okay. Because I was wondering about that, because, you know, there's a lot of people who call themselves apostles.
I'm not scared to say it. And I've done that before at the one church where I used to go to. And, you know, folks get mad. But there are not. There are no apostles nowadays. And the Bible speaks of in the book of Revelation, 12 apostles of the Lamb. Their names are in the 12 foundations. Amen. In the new city, in the new Jerusalem. So, and then we know also when you go back into the apostles' days, during that time, there were others who were with the apostles or who called themselves apostles, but there are only 12. So the point being. Nowadays, there are no apostles. Apostle Paul was the last one. According to his own words, he says, and last of all, he was seen of me. So there are no apostles nowadays, and I'm not scared to say it. I'm not caught up with a title, with people.
Right.
If you will, every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. This is that spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. So you can't be intimidated by somebody's title. Because if you're not in the book, you're not saying what the Word of God says, then you're anti-Christ. Because some folks are into their self more than they are to Jesus. So that's not right. It's God has an order all the time.
Right.
There's no apostles nowadays. I don't care who they are. There are no apostles nowadays. You can email me if you want to at truthministry5525@att.net. And I'll tell you the same thing. There are no apostles nowadays. And I'll give you the scripture if you want them. Whoever you be, I'm not saying you.
Right. Because what is the definition of the apostle? What is the definition of it?
Well, they're called and sent forth.
Uh-huh.
Say, we've been taught and we know what their job was, and we can see what their job was. The Word of God substantiates what their job was, to lay the foundation and to write the New Testament scripture. And even Apostle Paul said, no other foundation can be laid than that which is Christ Jesus. So we're building upon the foundation that they already laid. So the foundation, and then so even now people are not so important. None of us are nothing. One watereth, or one planteth, one watereth, but God gives the increase. That's so he says, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that give the increase. So there's, you know, people are so caught up with these words, anointed and all of that. I mean, you just want to be in the will of God. As any man minister, Peter said, let him minister with the ability that God giveth, that God may be glorified in all. So that's the most important thing, that God be glorified, not us.
Right, because a lot of people, especially ministers, I put it like that, they have the titles, they say all the time that they're doing apostolic work, and they call themselves apostles because they're doing apostolic work, and it makes unlearned lay members think, well, amen, they ain't doing that. But then those who know scriptures, like the scriptures you just said, saying that the foundation is already laid.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says, can no foundation any other man lay.
Right. You can call it, but they can call it apostolic work if they're doing apostolic work, but they cannot crown themselves apostle. I don't care who you are, doctor, whoever, whoever. You ain't no apostle. You're crazy.
Right. Another reason why I brought that up is some of the letters that Brother Paul wrote.
Yeah.
He not only wrote for himself, but he wrote just like in the Thessalonians.
Yeah.
We know that the Thessalonians is some of the first epistles that he wrote. And he says this, and I'm looking at First Thessalonians, and he said, Paul, Sylvanus, Timotheus, unto the churches of the Thessalonians, which in God. And then he goes on and say we a
yeah.
lot of times. And also in 2 Thessalonians, going back to what you're saying about apostles, do we have some nowadays?
Even no, we
in 2 it was the same thing he said. Really written that second epistle to the Thessalonians. He used Paul, Sabinius, Timotheus, and then it says unto the church of the Thessalonians. And he used we in a lot of that. Verse 4 says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and your faith and all your persecutions, tribulations that ye may endure. And he used a lot of times in these earlier epistles, we,
yeah.
dealing with three individuals, saying that not only that he was an apostle, but I have people with me.
Yeah.
But you fast forward and nowadays you have a lot of people taking on that title.
Yeah, and they're out of order, and they can't. There is illegal procedure. You can't take on that title nowadays. And so we only got about 4 minutes left. So yeah, so that's a good point. And I'm not afraid to say it. There are no apostles nowadays.
I appreciate it. I hang up and listen to the rest of the program. Keep up the good work. You all are excellent.
Okay. Yeah.
So if I could, Elder Cannon, I just want to validate something that Elder Cannon said pertaining to the foundation of the new city in Jerusalem. In Revelation 21 and 14, it reads, and the wall of the city, this is the city of New Jerusalem,
yes.
had 12 foundations,
yes,
and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Yes.
Right.
So man may recognize, and listen to what I'm saying, man may recognize some of these men as apostles, but God only had 12. And as we read on, we will find out that Paul indeed was the 12th apostle. And one of the things is these 12 apostles had to trace themselves back
yes.
to the 12 tribes
yes.
of Israel.
Yes. Right.
They also correlated with those 12 stones or those 12 jewels that was in the breastplate, if you will, of Aaron. See, all these symbols, all these types and shadows
okay.
that God gave us has a reason, and if we really want to know the truth, we have to dig into these things.
Yes.
So I agree 100%. These men may call themselves apostles, but they don't meet the qualifications to be that because they have to have seen the Lord. And we will find that as we go on in the book of Acts that Paul was taught by Jesus
yes.
Christ while he was in, I do believe it's the desert of Arabia. He was taught
yes.
by Jesus Christ for that 3 years. So
yes.
there's criteria. So if these men meet the criteria, they can carry the title. But we know, according to right division of the word, they do not meet those qualifications.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Let me just say this again. Again, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Yes.
People are giving
yes.
themselves to seducing spirits.
Yes.
They're calling themselves this because they're giving themselves over to something.
Yes. Yes. And so we know the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that's none other than what happened to Lucifer when he made himself the devil.
Yes.
So it's not, people are trying to make themselves so important. You're not that important. You cannot just crown yourself an apostle. Because in the book of Revelation, he says those that call them up, they call themselves are apostles, call themselves apostles in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, and have been found liars. So, yeah, so we want to say what the Word of God says. So, again, we'd like to thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this Word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. Again, email us at truthministry5525@att.net. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you again on next week.
That was my brother.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got him and his wife, they got the show called That's a Book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's the truth, man. I mean, I did that at what, Greater Grace one time in Christian Ed. Said there was no apostles, man. You should have seen them.
Man, I did.
Oh, man.
That's when I was over there, man.
Lord,
people calling the
button,
folks, they get mad.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah. Oh, man, what do you mean? Like,
I don't like that.
Oh, man, like, how dare you insult us? There's no, what do you mean? Oh, man, they didn't like that.
They didn't like, don't say there's no more prophets and all that kind of, no, don't you say that.
That's qualifications.
Yeah.
Sad. Like, it's qualifications to call yourself a minister. Or a pastor, a preacher, you got to meet those qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can prove
doing
to me
what they want to do, though, man.
Yeah.
If you can prove to me that you walk with Jesus,
man, people doing what they want to do
for 3 years, and he taught you personally.
What they want to do.
I told you all about Frederick Casey Price.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be an apostle.
Yeah, I saw that.
Foolishness is that. No apostle.
God, I only recognize 12.
That's
15
years, yeah. Though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, men giving themselves.
And then, okay, at the end of the day, what do it mean? If you're calling yourself apostle, what
right.
Do it mean?
Right, and what do you do?
Nothing. All it do is giving you a little bit more bump
right.
Than the next man because
that's
you're an apostle.
Really giving you.
And you want people to say it.
And, all it's about is really people worshiping you.
That's exactly.
All
exactly.
That's all we're really
mm-hmm.
telling you.
Mm-hmm.
That people worshiping
that pride.
You. You want people to see you
right.
In another,
you're
in
important.
Another life.
He's yeah.
Another
he's
another
the apostle.
Apostle.
And we want people
he's
to see us
like that.
But Jesus, I'm the vine. If you don't buy in the vine, though, guess what? You're going to be cast forth and you're burned.
Be burned. Men
burned.
Gather them and are burned.
So
yeah.
You're not, we're not abiding in Jesus Christ.
Right. Just like he said, you abide in me and my words
yeah.
Abide in you.
That's not what's about.
So that's what it is. Yeah. It, no. They're trying to be important. So you're going to use.
And it goes back to the conversation we first had. Man, people are not looking for the rapture of the church.
No.
Because if we were truly listening or waiting for the rapture of the church, I don't think a lot of people would get caught up in this stuff.
No, they wouldn't. They'd be, like Peter said, looking for and hasten until the day of the, you know, the Lord.
No.
That's what they should be doing, but they're not. No, they ain't.
They're not looking for it. They're not looking for the rapture of the church.